Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
Yeah, we did not.
Right.
Is that right?
So Duke,
short-term memory.
They said, I hear you. They said that the tickets were going at Super Bowl prices for this game. Barack Obama was in the stands. I think Spike Lee was there.
Yeah, Spike Lee. Get in price at secondary market was like $2,000, something like that.
Yeah, so it was a packed house, which isn't hard to do at Cameron.
And then they got to see that kind of defense.
And they got to see about 30 seconds of Zion Williamson, which clearly was the biggest draw in the game, and he literally came out of his shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the you talk about a wardrobe malfunction. This was a manufacturer's defect. You know, Ira mentioned Nike stock is down 1%. They'll pick that back up. I think it's going to be more the embarrassment than anything. And they might not sell any Paul George shoes anymore, but they'll still sell a bunch of Nikes and everything will be fine. But what was glaring to me, the total lack of defense. I mean, the total annihilation of any semblance of defense that Duke threw up last night.
Luke May went for 30.
See, but I'll concede that.
No, but what are you doing against Michigan? what are you doing against Iggy Brasdakis?
Nothing, basically.
I think Iggy is a plus defender. Yeah. But I'll give you some of the transition buckets because of style of play with North Carolina. I'll give you Luke May, who's a decent player
He's a good college
player. But their perimeter guys, they can't guard the ball, man.
They
couldn't guard the ball. They got, they got back cut to death as well. I mean, just their guys, their guards and wings could not keep Carolina from the – and so the stats in the first half, and this was – I couldn't believe it. 1-for-16 from the perimeter, North Carolina was. 17-for-24 from the paint. 17-for-24 from the paint. They finished with 62 points in the paint.
Yeah, 2-for-20 from three for the game, and they beat – what was the top team in the nation by 16 on their home court?
So the question to you guys is Zion Williamson really he's that much defensively?
Well, there's a guy named Jordan Sperber who was a former assistant at New Mexico State. I think he was he's an analyst.
He did some interesting work even before that, which I think got him that job on matchups.
But he's got a great Twitter presence, and he was pointing out that in a previous game, I think against Syracuse, that Duke makes an absolute epic ton of mistakes on defense, and Williamson and the rest of those guys with their NBA athleticism bail them out. So there was that three-pointer that Zion Williamson blocked, right, where it's just like, this person is not a human being.
Right.
And if you take that guy out of the middle who erases the many, many mistakes you make, then the crazy thing about that game is both teams were giving up more wide-open threes in 5 minutes than you'll see in an entire Big Ten game. It's just like kick it around the side. You don't even have to go inside. You just kick it to the corner, and there's a guy who's wide open for three. It looked like a February NBA game where, you get a guy who's open in the corner and nobody tries to close him out. It's just like, all right, well, he'll make it or miss it.
Yeah, and combined, those two teams were 10 of 59 from three.
I know, but the looks they were getting were crazy. Yeah. I don't know.
Zion definitely matters. But,
true.
I mean, Duke is not going to be that bad on defense. You got to remember, they got two wings that are going to be top five picks in the NBA draft still on that team. I forget their names now, but you guys, McReddish and Barrett. I mean, those are good players.
60 of the 72 points for Duke last night.
Yeah. So, I mean, and coming into this game, they were top five in defensive efficiency. So
my point. I mean, I understand that's a huge scoring cog. But I was just amazed at the total lack of defense.
They looked extremely unprepared to deal with Carolina's tempo. And it's like, you play this team every year.
Yep. Like, what? Well, but they get new players every year, man. These are freshmen.
I don't know.
They haven't been in the moment.
I wonder if Coach K is actually any good at coaching anymore. Because, he gets these guys, and then, so how are we supposed to know if he's any good at actually putting
it together? Well, I mean, was he ever good at the X's and O's part of coaching? Or was he always just a people person that...
He's a people person. Rat face.
I agree with Ed on this one. He's more of a people person. He's the most foul-mouthed referee baiter in the history of basketball. And but it worked for him for many years. And
What has been the appeal to Mike Krzyzewski, though? What has?
I mean, you win. Right?
Nike
gives
people money to play at Duke.
But he had to get there first, though. Right. They didn't always give people money to pay.
No. You get Christian Laettner.
I mean,
and you make some Final Fours, you win a title.
But he got guys. He was getting guys before.
He was at Final Fours before Laettner.
That's when he won the title. But he was with Abdel Nabi.
Well, even go before that, Mark Allery and Johnny Dawkins.
Yeah, Tommy Amaker.
Yeah, Johnny Dawkins was probably his first big recruit, if I remember.
He had some guys. Whatever made you want to go play for Mike Krzyzewski?
I don't know. He had an aura of leadership.
He's a knight disciple.
He's a people
Big
person.
Ten
Ed was right in the first place. But, I don't know. I mean, it's the juxtaposition between Duke and North Carolina and then Indiana and Purdue in the two conferences is really pretty stunning. I mean, those are two, like, big rivalry games, the fan bases who don't like each other and teams that don't really like each other. And one game was a complete rock fight with all defense, and the other was no defense at all. So
let's say Duke loses the ACC.
Okay.
Seems likely now, right?
And then they don't win the ACC tournament.
Yeah. Okay.
Also seems plausible.
So that means they aren't. Are they still in one seat?
No.
Probably not.
And so if Michigan wins out, is Michigan a one seed?
Yes.
If Michigan wins out, they're clearly a one seed. I think that they're being severely undervalued right now. Like, Gonzaga has no resume. They have one win over Duke, and then they have nothing.
But they for some reason, I guess all those years of maybe, giving them a slight.
Can you guys answer the net
pendulum is totally swung, and now you overvalue Gonzaga. I agree with you.
But the computer side of it, Brian and Ed in particular, how are they like in the top three in the net? I know they had the one win, and they lost to Tennessee, but...
I mean, if you're just going by KenPom, they're a one seed. They're blowing everybody out. They're a really good team. But I kind of thought that the net was more of a sorting tool so that when you look at the pages, it's like, okay, how good are these teams? So Michigan is going to have a crazy number of quad one team wins. And Gonzaga is, like, done for the year. I think they might have one, like, at St. Mary's. That's a quad one win. And they cannot have the resume of the Big Ten champion.
Yeah, Duke is what does it.
In terms of what?
Right. I mean, so if you look at Michigan's strength of schedule, it's, like, 41. They're 90. Like, there's no justification for Gonzaga being a one.
So do you think the injury situation with Killian Tilly is something that the committee will take into account?
Well, he's gone for the year, isn't he?
They said there was a chance. I thought there was a chance he could be back in the postseason.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think they should have to take it into account.
I don't think they should be looking at that. I don't think they should be looking at Michigan State's injuries. I think you evaluate a team on how they do over the year and forget about the injuries going into the tournament. This is how Michigan got ripped by the Big Ten way back with Bo. Dennis Franklin's hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not right. And so...
Well, the committee has shown that they do kind of...
It's
not like what's right. It's like what they do.
I mean, there was that famous year that Cincinnati with Kenyon Martin got bumped down to the two seed.
Yeah, when Michigan State have that national title, Kenyon Martin doesn't break his leg or ankle. I mean, that was huge that year.
Yeah, it's huge, but it shouldn't impact how the committee ranks teams. It should be based upon their year's work, regardless of who can play, who can't play.
But like, if you're telling me that the Big Ten champion in this Big Ten, the best conference in the country, can't get a one seed, I'm like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
we have 20 conference games, and everybody in this conference went out and beat people in the non-conference. It's the best conference in the country. There's no bad teams, like. Michigan's going to lose at Penn State.
There's no bad teams, but
there's no bad teams.
There isn't a bad team. No. Even Rutgers is not a bad team. Yeah. They're not a bad team.
They're okay. Well, you go have your Matt McQuaid party over there.
Disagree. You guys saw Rutgers play defense?
I know.
You guys saw Rutgers play defense at home?
That McQuaid reference is stuck with you now.
It's my boy now, I guess.
Yeah, we got to get your McQuaid jersey. Get Izzo on the line, he'll hook you up. For sure.
I mean, look, the Big Ten's been great. It's getting Tim Miles fired this year. Like, no doubt it's a fantastic basketball conference, and that's just the way things break, right?
Because
you lose a lot of games.
Was it you that said, Ira? No, it was Steve Clark. So Tim Miles said, yeah, but even if they fire me, I'll get paid next year. It's like,
that was bad.
You're done. It's over when you say that, right?
Yeah. So the year that Indiana was good and Michigan would have won the Big Ten title, there was a bunch of teams that were really good in the Big Ten that year. Was that 13?
It was 14.
Was that 14? I think Indiana got a one seed that year, but I think it's just the way that it breaks with wins and losses and with the committee and like.
Well,
the thing is,
Carolina's on the two line, and usually if people are doing like S curves, they're ahead of Michigan. They're 20-5. They got their heads beaten in by Michigan, and Michigan's 23-3 in the toughest conference in the country. I don't know how you can possibly justify that. I don't understand Michigan being like the last two seed right now. It's insane.
It's the Delaney certainty principle.
I mean, Delaney doesn't have that much influence.
Well, I'm talking generically. Mm-hmm.
So it's just strange to me, but they've got an opportunity to go to Maryland. They got an opportunity to go to Michigan State. Those games will, if they are wins, shoot Michigan back up, I think.
All right. Well, we shall see. What do you think happens in tonight's game?
Got to hit some threes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be another kind of rock fight unless Michigan just kind of eases out to an early lead and goes from there. But I don't see how Minnesota's going to score a significant number of points against Michigan.
Well, they don't shoot the three at all. I mean, no. Except for Kalscher. And so you shut Kalscher down, and you have a good chance because I don't think they can beat up on Michigan inside. But it depends how is the game officiated. I mean, if Teske's in early foul trouble, if Iggy's in early foul trouble,
that's a
different game.
I mean, I hope they double on the post. Because
they can double in this game.
Because, only Kalscher is really a threat, mm-hmm. So if you've got Kalscher, you can't double. But somebody else can, and that'll take some foul pressure off Teske. So I would do that early and see how the game develops.
Yeah, my numbers are Michigan by four. That's less than they were a favorite at Penn State. So if they play their game, they should win, and let's hope they do that.
What about Sunday versus the Spartans?
I mean, Michigan's at home. They won't have Ward. I just don't see how, unless Winston is just making a lot of really tough contested shots, I don't see how they keep pace.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Michigan wins on Sunday. I think tonight is at least equally as problematic or difficult as Sunday.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think Michigan wins the home game against Michigan State.
All right. We shall see if it works out that way. Coming up next is Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath. Tomorrow we'll be joined by John Ubakin. We might get – you will obviously get some Sparty talk in there. We might have a few Sparty contributors call up and talk about the game. And maybe, we're efforting, some championship guests. See what we can do. All right. At any rate, until tomorrow, folks, thanks for listening to the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.